A reading from Isaiah chapter 45 verses 1 through 7. The prophet announces that Cyrus, the Persian emperor, is the one the Lord has anointed to end Israel's exile. The Lord makes this choice so that the whole world will recognize this Lord as the only God. Persia had a God of light and a God of darkness. The Lord claims sovereignty over both light and darkness. And the lesson reads, Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob, and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name, I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, there is no other, besides me there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things.
The Holy Gospel today comes from Matthew in the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, Whose head is this, and whose title? They answered, The emperor's. Then he said to them, Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of our Lord.
How many of you have one? You know, the jar that holds all the extra coins. The coins from your pockets, the coins from the bottom of your purse, the coins from the washer and dryer, the coins from the cracks of the sofa, coins, coins, and more coins. All saving them for the rainy day fund or that special purchase as Tori does in our house, which as of yesterday was the new puppy that came into our house. So, coins. Yet, in our current COVID state, and because of changes in shopping and banking practices during the pandemic, coin circulation patterns have been disrupted, which has led to many stores preferring exact change or electronic payments. Yes, enough coins exist in our country. They just are not circulating in the same ways since the Stay Safe at Home order began in March 2020. This seems to be the result of a combination of factors. Businesses moving to go orders only or limited seating in restaurants. Banks having reduced hours and people avoiding touching public objects such as coins in order to slow the spread of the coronavirus. This makes me think about a few things. Certainly, the coin shortage does not affect everyone equally. What populations or groups might the coin shortage especially impact? Makes me think people who do not have credit cards, who live by cash, people who use laundromats, people using buses, and soon, right around the corner, we'll have to think about whether that's going to happen in the same way the Salvation Army Red Kettle program. And what are the pros and cons for our society becoming increasingly cashless, I think about? Certainly in today's gospel, coins are used to pay a day's wage and to pay taxes and to try to trap Jesus again as well. It's amusing at all their uses. I've even seen pennies used as flooring, but let's not digress. What's interesting is who is calling the question to Jesus today. Because Jesus and his entourage, plus the crowds following him, have not been occupying the Jerusalem, have now been occupying the Jerusalem temple for better part of 2 days as we come into this gospel reading today. The authorities have already attempted to lure Jesus into blasphemy, and now the religious leaders, the Pharisees, sent their disciples to question Jesus. If these disciples, the amateurs, can get the best of Jesus, their junior status will enhance their victory. If they fail to get the best of Jesus, not likely given their excellent question, the Pharisees will not be personally embarrassed. Now, it might be a good tactical move on the part of the Pharisees, but a little cowardly as this time they bring some Herodians with them as well for backup. But remember, the Pharisees' disciples were the holy men who kept the laws of Moses. They preserved purity with a passion and wanted nothing more than to live lives that pleased God to the T. And the Herodians were the supporters of Herod Antipas, the King Herod's son, Rome's puppet ruler and collaborator with the empire. And now the Pharisees were against the Roman occupation. So they had little in common with these Herodians except their mutual opposition to Jesus and the trouble he was stirring up at that time among the people. So it seems that the Pharisees' disciples and the Herodians egg Jesus on a little bit before they ask him the very important trapping question. Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. So, tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? What a fun thing. Is it lawful? Is it right? Is it permissible? Well, Jesus. Now, back then, paying taxes is widely unpopular to the people. It is not only an economic hardship, but it is symbolic of oppression of the Roman rule at the time. The fact is, not paying taxes is illegal, and eliciting others to not pay is grounds for arrest. So you see what's happening? Plus, there were three basic types of taxes back then. A land or produce tax took 1/10 of all grain and 1/5 of all fruit or wine. Everyone age 14 to 65 paid a head or poll tax when the census was taken. 1 day's wage is what they took, a denarius, which we hear in the story today, which is $100 in today's money. And then there was a custom tax, which was collected at ports and at city gates as toll for goods transported. And the rates were anywhere from 2% to 5% of the value of the goods. So, paying taxes to Caesar is acknowledging that he is the rightful owner of the land, even though the law says that only God is the rightful owner. The leaders really did not want an answer from Jesus. Their motives were only to put Jesus in a catch-22 between the religious and the political implications of their question. And they have carefully crafted a question that allows only a yes or no answer. Thus, a yes or a no could get Jesus into big trouble. So the question is, which law will Jesus follow? Caesar's law or Moses' law? Well, what is not surprising is that He is aware of their malice, their hatred, their trap once again, and he calls them on it. And he says, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And then Jesus manages to wiggle his way out of the trap by reminding them of something that everyone finds so easy to forget, or worse, easy to deny, by bringing Jesus a denarius. Because what's more extraordinary and ingenious than the face of Caesar on a coin? Jesus said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered to them, "The emperor's." Well, the fact that each one of us bears a mark on our very own lives, a face, a mask on our very own lives. You know, we all have that view, that creation of our face. And what's interesting is that just around the corner, we actually dedicate a season to carving or painting faces into or on pumpkins to show faces, to mark a place, a face. And what is more astonishing than ever is how an entire system or currency was built containing the image of the emperor who made it. Because the truth is that each one of our communities is a treasury minted in the image of our creator. From Jesus's point of view, it is no big deal at all to pay Caesar's tribute with the money in our pockets once we remember that we pay tribute of thanksgiving and praise to God, the Father, each and every day with our very lives, of all that we are. Because the currency of Caesar is copper and stone and sword, because that coin was made of copper. Yes, those are powerful things, copper, stone, and sword. Because you can build a city or any army or pave a road. But the currency of God, our creator, is flesh and blood, intellect and language, creativity and morality, wisdom and kindness, justice and love. And can you imagine what those things can build? So Jesus reminds us that we are created in God's image, and that it is so no small task and no small thing. And I wonder if the Pharisees, disciples, and the Herodians had forgotten that. That they got caught up in all of that, in fussing about how Caesar had claimed power over everything that was important for Rome, the Roman world. Plus, I'm not sure we really know what it means anymore to be made in God's image. That we get lost in what is flashy, what is the latest and greatest regarding Rome, and how many coins they had and how many dollars they would get for them. Jesus says, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." Jesus is trying to help us remember and reframe our thoughts around bearing God's image on a daily basis. So pause for a moment to let that sink in. We were all created and made in the image and very likeness of God, not to be carved in a pumpkin, but because we share God's likeness with the world, that we are to act like God, that we are not to be gods, those who lord their authority over others for power, but rather be like God, the one who creates and nurtures and redeems and loves and saves no matter what the cost. And we are called, that is, to serve as God's children, as God's people, as co-workers in this crazy world, even this crazy COVID world today. Like the Genesis text says, we are to exercise dominion, authority over creation, not as power, but rather as stewards. Like we talk about stewardship and care and extending to all the abundant life God wishes for us, for all of us. And yes, as part of that abundant life, we give to God what is God's first. Then we pay our taxes and we live the life God has called us to live, which is different for each of us. And I pray that each of us is blessed to find our holy calling in life along the way. And in this season of pandemic and politics, may we not lose sight by focusing on only the coin or coins. May we live with abundant love, a love that loves our neighbors, even when we may not always agree to see eye to eye or listen ear to ear when we all have different viewpoints en masse these days as COVID case numbers continue to rise. But today, may we remember that Jesus is reminding us, give to God what is God's, our very lives, which is God's very image. And God reminds us that the greatest debt of all is to love one another. That is a debt I'm willing to continue to pay forward. Are you ready to exchange your change for this kind of debt? I know I am. And thanks be to God. Amen.